Burke, section of National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History Program 2. I'm Shirley Stolzer, along with Judy Rubenstein, and we're interviewing Milton Selznick at his home in Greensburg on this date of 9/8/97. Mr. Selznick, just say hello to us so we know we got your voice.
Hello.
Oh, very good.
Okay. I don't know where I was, but you're going to ask me questions.
I know that we haven't seen you for a long while, and so and this was back in June 97, and so we had talked quite a bit about your professional, your parents, what they did, and the kind of how you came to Pittsburgh and so forth. And today, what I'd like to talk to you about is the kinds of things that relate to your immediate family. We have no idea about your wife, what her name is, her birth date, and your children, and so forth. So could you start by telling us a little bit about your immediate family?
I come from a family of five children, mother and father, five children.
That's your parents' family. We want your family, your wife and your children and so forth.
I was a little unusual in that I married a girl much younger than myself, 37 mm-hmm. years actually.
Wow.
And somebody said to me, how was it being married to a young girl? I said it was wonderful, but I don't recommend it.
Why didn't you recommend it?
Because it catches up to you eventually.
Yes.
I'm just about there now.
Yeah, it's hard.
But my wife is a remarkable person in that she's her mind is so wonderful. Her name was a single girl, was her maiden name was Silverman. Mm-hmm. Her father was Alvin Silverman, and her mother, Frances.
What was her first name? Your wife's first name?
Sheila.
Sheila.
And they're very much in the background that my family was. Mm-hmm. I think their family probably came from the same part of Europe back a generation or so before, and mine too. And we certainly got along just fine, but I think the main reason that we got along so well, since being so different in age,
right?
I was 57 mm-hmm. at the time we got married. I'd never been married before, mm-hmm. and she was 20.
Oh, goodness.
But the reason we got along so well was that we had common interest in my business. That was the horse business.
Right.
And she was an avid rider. Mm-hmm. And it really was almost all the life we knew. Mm-hmm. Our social life and working life was all around that. Mm-hmm. Right before I married her, I recommended that she go to veterinary school. I encouraged her, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. What she did, and she went to veterinary school when girls were not very common in it. I think there were six girls to 60, no, out of 60.
Oh, on that, yes.
There were six girls.
Where was the veterinary school she attended?
It was at the University of Pennsylvania. Oh. It was the best and one of the first good veterinary schools mm-hmm. In Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And she went there for 4 years. We were married during that time. Mm-hmm. Actually, she had their first child while she was in school.
Oh, my.
And after it had been there with a girl while she was going to school, with a girl to take care of it in the mornings, I brought the baby home. And I took care of the baby here until she was really out of school.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, what was her birthday? Do you know?
April the 30th.
What year?
You've got to figure it out. She'll
right.
be here pretty soon. You want to put
all
it in
right.
later?
Sure, we'll put it in later.
Yes.
How did you come to, you met her through your business, is that it? Is that
her
how
dad
you
brought, I had a riding stable.
Yes.
The first, when she came up, was in Squirrel Hill,
mm-hmm.
off Beechwood Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And I originally had been there in 1932, but this, I stayed there for a while, and then I went to Shenley Park and ran that stable. Mm-hmm. And from there I went to the cavalry during the Second World War.
Right. We're going to talk about that later.
I was there for about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, after running a farm in North Hills for 6 months, I moved back to Squirrel Hill, to the original location. And her dad brought her up roughly, she was 7 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And she started to ride. And oddly enough, I can remember her as a little girl. We had, you know, everybody in Squirrel Hills, kids came up to ride.
Right.
And take lessons. And I knew everybody by their children. I could have run for mayor. I'd say, vote for me, I won't give you a good horse.
But, were you the only trainer? Or did you have other people
training? No. Actually, I had a boy or so to clean the stables.
Yes.
But no, I did that until the youngsters were good enough to take over my teaching program.
Ah,
it's surprising how good they
were.
They became, yes. And there was no money changed hands at all, practically. Everything was, well, in depression times, you know, but things had just started to go up again.
Uh-huh.
And you could still hire a man for $10, $15 a week.
Mm-hmm.
The kids all worked for nothing. Nobody ever said how much you pay an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave them all the riding they wanted,
mm-hmm.
and used to buy them their lunches and dinners
so that
nobody had to go home. And their parents loved it. I was a glorified babysitter.
I'll bet.
But for $3, the other kids, they could send a kid up for $3 and stay there all day long and ride horses too.
Wow.
Anyway, that's where it went along, and she grew up with all the others, thousands of them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I know them all today, and we're all friendly. They're all, a lot of them are a little old ladies, you know.
Yeah.
Some of my riders, when they come for 13, now they're 75.
That's
how long I've been in the business.
Right, right.
And they still come and visit me and talk and phone. They all live all over the world, you know.
That's nice. So when did you get married? Do you know what year?
It had to be, I was 57.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me see.
You were born in 1906. 06,
yes.
So it's 57, 67, 13.
That is 50.
1963? No.
No, 50, maybe about 58 or something.
Uh-huh.
How many years are you married now?
We're married 35 years. Going to be 34 years.
34 years, so it was in the 1960s.
You're
right.
Yeah,
1963.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Where were you married?
I was running a stable in Allison Park on the Kalig property, you know, the Kalig family in Pittsburgh.
Yes, C-A-L-I-G.
Yes, and I started them in Squirrel Hill too,
The
Kaligs and all the kids and everybody. And then when we lost the lease, they were going to develop Squirrel Hill property.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Kalig said, why don't you bring your horses out to my place? And I said, I'm afraid the horse in the stable, we'd mess your place up. It's so nice. And he said, I know how you operate. You bring them. I said, okay. So I took my horses out to his farm.
Mm-hmm.
Very much soon after he had moved out there. And I stayed there for 10 years.
About when was that?
Well, I know exactly because we came here in 70 and went out there in 60.
1960.
That I know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you get married there at that place?
Yes,
Kalig's
well, we
place?
Lived there. I got married.
In Allison Park?
In Allison Park, yes. No, we got married at Temple, Rochelle.
Mm-hmm.
I think her family's going to kill me because that's too old for her.
But they accepted you.
Well, reluctantly.
Reluctantly.
Her dad was, he's a nice, easygoing fellow. And her mother didn't like it, but the family didn't like it. But they all went to the funeral, and everything worked out. Now they love me.
They love you now.
Yes.
That's good.
Don't forget, I was older than their father and mother, way much older.
Uh-huh. You must have been a very attractive guy that she decided to be with you.
I never thought so. I always had complexes about my looks, and mainly about my size. That bothered me, you know.
That you weren't taller?
I wasn't taller, yes.
Uh-huh. Is she tall?
No, she's older than me. I tell people that's why I married her. It took why I didn't get married till then. It took me so long to find somebody a little older than me.
That's nice.
But our children are very
small. Did you have a big wedding?
Oh, no. Oh, they had a reception. Yeah, they had a, I'm trying to
reception?
Think. Yeah, the wedding was when Dr. Rabbi Jacobs married us. And he was so kind because I was very nervous. I was afraid somebody stuck a knife in my back. Yeah. But he carried me through it and kept in touch ever since.
Good.
And surprising how long it lasted, long enough to see him.
So you didn't have a big wedding, but you had a reception.
Oh, yeah. It was in someplace in Oakland, I forget. Some restaurant or something.
You had a big reception?
Or what was it in the temple? I forget now, but anyway. Mm-hmm.
Did your family come?
Well, at that time, I didn't have any mother and father.
No, I know.
Yeah, my sister was Lil Lefkowitz.
Yes.
And that was the only...
Was
and
she there?
Her son. And, oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And where did you go to live with your wife then?
Well, on the farm.
You stayed on the farm.
There was a little house there that... it had tenants in it. Mm-hmm. And it was all fixed up. It was a beautiful little place. So I stayed right at the farm where my work was. Mm-hmm. And
what was that area again? What was that area?
Allison Park.
Allison Park.
Duncan Avenue.
That must have been rather new at that time, was it?
What, the...
That whole area of Allison Park.
No, it wasn't as developed as much as it is today. It still had started, but it wasn't as developed as it was. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know whether it mushroomed or not, but it became more popular now. And, of course, now that particular property is developed in homes.
Yes.
Residential.
But your farm was there.
That was Sam Cayley's farm, and he lived on it. Mm-hmm. And his kids enjoyed the use of it, you know. You remember it.
Very well, in the 50s.
Well, no, that was in the 60s.
But I was there in the 50s.
Oh, you were there. Oh. At the Gailey place. And so we're still very, very close. Uh-huh.
And your wife was already at the University of Pennsylvania Veterinary School.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then she graduated school and came and practiced at that time just on equine practice. Mm-hmm. Horses.
Right.
And worked at that for 10 years.
Oh, really?
She looks very young now. It makes me mad. But anyway, she worked on nothing but horses, and because she's an expert.
Yes.
And then when we moved out here, it wasn't a profitable business because in order her patients, she had to go to see her patients.
Yes.
And you may have to drive 20 miles
to get there
and work on a horse out in a field that was muddy and things like that. You know, so. She did that for 10 years and enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Made a lot of complex connections. And then when she moved out here, the little house was on the property. And I said, Stanley, I said, I want that. She'll use that for a clinic.
Mm-hmm. Good.
She did.
Good. Tell me, before you go on with what your wife did, you said that when she went to University of Pennsylvania, you stayed in Pittsburgh, right?
I stayed in Pittsburgh.
And then she became pregnant while she was going to school?
Yes.
I had
the baby in Philadelphia.
Oh, my. Were you there?
Oh, yeah. I hopped in a plane at 6 o'clock in the morning, and baby was born. I got there at 10.
And you had a son?
And I had I had a daughter.
A daughter. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's her name?
Her name is Anne, named after my mother.
With an E at the end or without an E?
No, just
A-N-N.
No middle name.
Uh-huh. And did you have other children?
I have another, a boy.
Uh-huh. How old is your daughter?
My daughter now is 33.
Uh-huh.
33. And my boy is 20, is 5 years younger.
Uh-huh. What is his name?
Sanford.
Sanford. Where do they live? Do they live here now?
My daughter, although she was a math major mm-hmm. at Penn State mm-hmm. is running, she's managing a recording studio in New York.
Oh.
She's, that my kids like music.
Yes.
And she's running, very busy. Mm-hmm. Very busy. The name of it is Sound on Sound mm-hmm. Recording Studio right in New York.
Is she married?
No, she's not. Mm-hmm. And my son graduated at the University of Pennsylvania also.
Nice.
And he went back to work for the college.
I see.
And I don't know exactly how to express it, but he runs the communications in the school.
At the University of Pennsylvania.
At the University of Pennsylvania.
Does he teach or he just runs the
department? No, he runs this. He's a remarkable boy as far as intelligence is concerned. Mm-hmm. And they bill out in his department $2 million a month.
Oh, that's all.
Telephone, and it's he tells me it's the only department in the school that shows a profit.
That's good.
So, and he's smaller than me, which is very, very touchy.
Yeah.
But he's a wonderful, wonderful.
Good.
Both
he's,
kids are
is
wonderful.
He married?
No, he's not.
Neither
he's
one.
Not.
So
it's
you have
hard,
to get
just
both
like
of
me.
Them.
Little, no. We get somebody taller. And you know the funny thing is, I always like tall girls.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you see them often?
Oh, my daughter's here every chance she gets to
she
drive
does.
In. Yes.
Oh,
she,
that's good.
She loves this place. She calls this Sperryland.
Uh-huh. And how about your son? Does he get in from Philly?
Not as often, but we are in contact constantly.
That's
very
good.
Close family.
That's good. Uh-huh. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, the two of them grew up in Pittsburgh, though.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, no. In Allison Park, you might say.
Yes.
Well, my son was only a year old when he came out here.
I see.
My daughter was six. Mm-hmm. So they didn't know anything, but they didn't know the city very well.
Right.
And that's why when they went to school, to college. It was good that they went into city schools.
Right.
Because they weren't city-wise, weren't street-wise at all. I mentioned the other day that they were on all the high schools around here. They had a list in the paper of all the troubles, number of troubles they had in each high school mm-hmm. with children. And one had 28, and another one had 14, and all the way down the list. And the school they went to had none. Hemphill High School didn't have any. I thought that was remarkable.
Had no
incidents of
difficulties.
Yes, with
that's
children.
Good. That's good. Yes, tell me, how did you come to move out to Greensburg?
Well, it all seemed to fall into place. I have a fatalistic feeling about the whole thing too, because it's where my whole life has worked. But Stanley Gumberg, well, Kalig was going to develop his place.
Oh, so you had to move.
At that time, Stanley had some horses at my place, and they lived there, right? They were there all the time, especially the boys, Aaron, Larry, and Andy. And Stanley Cahey was looking for a place. And he came one day and says, "You're going with me, or I'm going without you." At that same time, it just fell in place. When I had to leave the one place, and he came with that.
That was Gumberg. Came.
Gumberg. Mm-hmm. And I'd never worked for anybody in my life. Outside of as a kid, I did everything.
Right.
From a drugstore up in Squirrel Hill, I started to work when I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And he was the first man I really ever went to work for. And because I went in business when I was 19, a different business, but I was 19.
Right.
So he brought me out here. He brought Sheila out too, because it was to her interest too. She had a practice. Mm-hmm. She developed a practice there, so she was going to
right.
change. And I looked this place over. Unbelievable, 60 acres, a 32-room mansion, and carriage house over there for us to live in. It was enormous. The kitchen big as my house.
Oh, my.
And both sides, and the woman had just died. No, she hadn't. She died 4 years previous to that, mm-hmm. and the place laid idle.
Nice.
So it was too big a thing for most people to handle, but Stanley, as a top real estate man, it was nothing to him. And I said, okay, we'll start a riding. So this is good. We'll start a riding stable because Seton Hill is there, and I'll have the girls ride. And he said, we'll be partners. So
did you want a partner?
No, it's just the way it worked out.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I said, okay, fine. I'll put a big ring up on top of the hill, like I showed to you. And I would have a riding school for the girls at Seton Hill or anybody else in the area. That, you know, always can get riders if you want to teach riding here. They're always looking for something. But I took Stanley to a horse sale to buy a few cheap race horses that I thought I would race for him and make the expenses of the farm, hopefully.
Yeah.
And when I went to the sale to buy him a few $1,500 horses, he bid on one, the most expensive one in the sale, for $168,000.
Oh, my.
So I said, Stanley, I can't be in business with you. I'm a horseman. I don't have any money. And he said, okay, you're working for me. And he put me on a salary, which was actually practically the only one I ever worked for. And I was here until he got sick, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
From 60 to from 70 to 76.
Now, when he said you'll work for me, what were you going to do for him?
I was a farm manager.
Ah.
This was quite an undertaking.
So you lived across the way then,
yes.
Initially?
Yes.
I see.
And there were tenant, lifetime tenant people in these houses.
I see.
These are three houses.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived free.
So they took care of the farm.
The woman that sold them the place, they didn't pay much in salaries in those days, mm-hmm. or help, but they let them have
free
rent for the rest of their
life. I see. Now, you lived in that 32-room house?
No, I lived in the carriage house.
Oh, in the carriage house.
It was big, too. It's a six-car garage underneath.
Is that all?
So, anyway, and I became the farm manager. But Marcia, if you know Marcia, she wanted a horse farm. And she pictured a horse farm, not unlike the Kentucky white buildings and all that. Well, everything I did to this place made it look more like an estate. No matter what I did, it looked more like an estate. You couldn't help it, because I put in post and rail fence, which is horsey, more horsey than the white. The Nouveau, you know.
Nouveau.
White, yes.
Right.
So
schnazzy.
Yeah, so anyway, we had a wonderful time here, and since Stanley was encouraging me all the time to bigger, we ended up with millions of dollars worth of horses here. Not many, just expensive.
Yes.
Very few, but expensive. Ended up putting another stable up in the back, a beautiful stable, and beside the one here. And
what did you do with your horses from Allison Park? Did you bring them out here, too?
I know. When this turned out, when he bought that horse, I said, I'm out of the riding stable business and sold them.
Oh, you sold them. So you had only his horses
only
by the time you got out here.
I kept one or two. But
yes.
My wife is an avid fox hunter.
I see.
And she even hunted before we moved here at Rolling Rock. She was a member of the Rock. And they had a hunt out in the, but now they don't call it a hunt, they call it a fox chase.
Yes.
Because the animal right is too tough, so they don't kill anything, they just chase them.
Chase.
couldn't catch them before anyways.
Yeah.
But she was very active at Rolling Rock in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And the hunt, incidentally, although it's on the Rolling Rock grounds, the club grounds, is separate from the club up there. So
everybody
understands that there are Jewish people in that hunt, or in that club.
There are or not?
There are not.
I see. In the club there aren't, but in the riding?
Riding, yes.
There are Jewish people.
Yes. And she became very active. She was a secretary and a treasurer, and she put on the horse shows, and she's eased up a little bit now, but she's still very active.
But you were meantime staying here.
I was here, running it for Stanley. But there was more to it than the horse game. Then I had a 60-acre elaborate farm to take care of, and those horses that he ended up with were full-time. I had five or six help, and,
right.
And we shipped to Kentucky to sell.
Wow.
And we sold one horse for, incidentally, it's quite a thing. The mare that we bought for $168,000 was in foal, and she had a foal.
Yes.
She had that foal, and we raised it to be a year old and sold it at a big sale in Kentucky for $485,000.
Oh, my.
So that really put him in deep, and then he knew that this was a business to be in, which it really isn't. So, but that's quite a story. That was his beginning in the breeding business.
Yes.
So.
But you did you do the breeding?
Well, yeah, no, not here. We sent the mares. I took the mares to Kentucky, mm-hmm. had them bred to the finest stallions in the world, mm-hmm. where today one breeding, no guarantee, might be $250,000.
Wow.
That's if you could get it. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of business it is. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for me. I wasn't too crazy about the breeding business because it didn't take anything but money.
Right.
And my business of training, it took skill. And that's where I'm.
Did you miss that
when
you were here?
Terribly.
Yes.
Terribly. I have to ride today. I train horses all the time.
You do?
I always have a horse or two in training. I ride every day. Or maybe five times a week. Oh, yeah.
That's
my long suit. I can do something with horses that nobody else can do.
So when Mr. Gumberg brought you, is Marcia his wife? You mentioned she liked to come out here.
Well, she lived here. They only lived here few months in the summertime. Otherwise, he'd come out on a weekend.
So he lived in the 32-room house.
But he had the house in Squirrel Hill on Bishop Boulevard at that time.
Did you mind working for somebody? Because you hadn't worked for many years.
I get along very easily with people, and I really... I'm not working for them. They're almost working for me.
I see.
I mean, we're enjoying things together. We'll put
he wasn't checking on you and things like
that. He said, the only thing out of all my business ventures, you're the only one that I don't have to look after.
Uh-huh.
I got myself. But then I knew the business better maybe than anybody in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the handling of the animals. Mm-hmm. And so I taught it to him.
So you were traveling back and forth from here to Kentucky?
Oh, yes, with horses.
Oh,
they were born, they would get down there and be bred. Mm-hmm. Mares would be bred, bring them back up here. They had the pleasure of having them on the farm. Mm-hmm. We built this beautiful stable. And when the mares were going to have their foals, they had the foals here.
Ah.
We had television sets in the stalls. So
that
they'd wake me up in the nighttime, I had it in my room.
Really?
A monitor in a room. And when the mare was going to have a foal, and she perspired and laid down and got up, Sheila and I said, the veterinarian right on the place.
Oh, you had it well made.
We went out and we delivered the foal,
uh-huh.
raised them till they were, there was more to it than that, because we had to take the mare back and have them bred very early in foal heat, actually. 7 days after they had the foal, we bred them.
Wow.
But then if they didn't come in season then, or if they didn't have their pregnant then, well, we brought them back later.
I see.
But you couldn't get those kind of stallions. They're only in the whole world, they're only in Kentucky. Well, maybe now the Arabs have
their own.
Buying on us. Finally, they got more good ones than we do.
Right.
But that was the story about that.
Did your children participate in all this horse raising and interests and training and everything?
No, I have... I had ponies for my children, and they showed, and they rode very well, but they couldn't have cared less.
I see.
And I certainly wasn't going to force them.
Yes.
And although my dad was interested in horses, out of five children, I was the only one that stayed with him. Yes, but he brought me back a pony.
Where did your children, did they have, this is a kind of isolated area, so to speak, where did they have friends and go to school? And you said your son told me the last time your son became a bar mitzvah and you were so happy about it.
Oh, yes, one of them.
So where did they get all their schooling and friends and Hebrew school?
Greensburg was only a mile from here. And we have a temple.
Oh.
Temple Emmanuel Israel now. Originally it was just the one, but they combined. We have trouble now with the temples in small towns because the youngsters don't stay
in the
town. There's nothing for them. And my youngsters were the same. So so they really didn't have a lot of Jewish friends, like in a confirmation class, there would be only maybe five. Well, anyway, in mine, it was 120-something.
It was.
Wow.
Yeah, we had,
that was it
wow.
when he was young.
Yeah, we had...
but they
Rabbi Goldson. In fact, we had the last, the 75th reunion here this year. So, no, they did. But they had friends, nice friends, not in the school.
Mostly non-Jewish.
Mostly non-Jewish. Mm-hmm. So I was so pleased when my son went to University of Pennsylvania because tremendously.
Yes.
Jewish population.
And were you active in the temple in Greensburg when your children were growing?
No, my kids.